Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. There are grave concerns right now, especially in Europe and in Germany, that a nuclear war might break out between Germany and Europe on the one hand, and Russia on the other hand, over the situation in Ukraine. Now, what about these concerns? Where do they come from, and is there any validity to those? I'd like to begin by reading of an article on January 22, which was published by AFP, and it has to do, of course, with the situation regarding the tanks which Germany was asked to deliver to Ukraine. It says in this article, Germany is ready to authorize Poland to send German-made Leopard tanks to Ukraine to help Kyiv fight the Russian invasion if Warsaw makes such a request, Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock said Sunday. Now, that's an absolutely ridiculous comment she made, because for months, Poland and other allies have asked Germany to give the green light, because these are tanks which were produced and manufactured in Germany, so they have to approve a deliverance of those to Ukraine. So here comes Baerbock with that ridiculous statement, and of course, sure enough, Deutsche Welle wrote on January 24, Poland's defense minister says Warsaw has sent a formal request for Berlin to allow the transfer of German-made Leopard 2 battle tanks to Ukraine. And the Polish minister, prime minister, later said he would ask the European Union to reimburse the cost of the tanks. Now, good luck for that one. But here comes Bild Online, the very famous widespread mass publication over there in Germany, writing on January 24, now Chancellor Olaf Scholz no longer has a choice. He has to make a decision. Continue to procrastinate or deliver. The pressure is great. And now suddenly everything happened very, very quickly and surprisingly so. Berlin decided that Leopard 2 tanks were to be sent to Ukraine by Germany and to allow the Allies to send their Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine as well. And then Chancellor Scholz ridiculously claimed on Wednesday during a parliamentary debate that his decision, or the lack thereof, was well considered over a period of time. And Defense Minister Boris Pistorius stated that the first Leopard 2 tanks could be delivered to Ukraine within 3 months, and later he even said by the middle of March. Now, as you can imagine, Russia's reaction was one of anger. The New York Post wrote on January 24, Germany confirmed Wednesday it was sending battle tanks to help Ukraine in the war, which Russia called a disastrous plan that it said was part of a wider blatant provocation led by the United States. It is seen as a major turning point in Western support, as it is the first supply of weapons that have a mainly offensive rather than a defensive purpose. The U.S. Sun went a lot further, stating on January 24, one high-profile Putin mouthpiece demanded Berlin's Bundestag parliament should be reduced to radioactive ash in retaliation. It comes after dithering German Chancellor Olaf Scholz folded to international pressure and also direct pleas from President Zelensky. He will now send Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine and allow NATO allies to re-export dozens more. The Kremlin today hit back, saying any tanks supplied by Germany and the US will burn like all the rest. And raging Moscow TV pundit Satanovsky said warheads should be launched on the center of German democracy. He said, German tanks with crosses on their armor will again march across Ukraine, attacking Russian soldiers. I have a natural reaction to this. The Soviet Union bombed Berlin in 1941. And to me, this is a signal that the Reichstag, or Bundestag, which now replaces the Reichstag, simply should not remain standing any longer. Flat, slightly radioactive, melted down ground will remain in its place. Another of Putin's favorite propagandists, TV host Vladimir Solovyov, claimed it meant Germany had joined the war. He ranted it's time to send a clear, resolute message that we now consider Germany a direct party to the conflict, rekindling memories of World War II. German tanks appearing in Ukraine will definitely mean we consider German territory. This is talking about even outside Ukraine, military bases and other sites as legitimate targets. Meanwhile, the article goes on to say, Joe Biden was poised to approve sending around 30 M1 Abrams tanks to Ukraine. It is a major reversal after Washington argued against sending its battle tank into the conflict with Russia. However, despite the U-turn, it could still take months or even years for the tanks to be delivered. Now, while all of this is going on, here comes an unbelievable statement by Annalena Baerbock, the same person who also talked about that no formal request had been received yet to deliver those tanks. Bild Online wrote on January 26. German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock said on Tuesday at the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe in Strasbourg in English, "We are fighting a war against Russia and not against each other." A short video excerpt from Baerbock's speech went viral on the internet and caused astonishment and criticism, because Baerbock fundamentally contradicts Chancellor Olaf Scholz, who repeatedly emphasizes that Germany should not become a war party. However, Baerbock explained exactly the opposite, that Germany was already at war with Russia. And you can only imagine the reaction from Russia. Russia, which has been saying Germany is in war with us and at war with us, now is pointing out that Baerbock said the same thing. So now Bild asked the Foreign Office why the foreign minister said the sentence and whether she still stands by her statement. The answer, one roll backwards. The most important part of the answer: international law is clear, supporting Ukraine in exercising its individual right of self-defense against Russia's illegal war of aggression, as enshrined in the UN Charter, does not make Germany a part to the conflict. This means, Bild Online writes, Baerbock takes back her sentence that Germany is fighting a war against Russia. Supporting Ukraine doesn't make Germany a party to the war. Well, the question is, did Baerbock spill the beans again? Did she reveal what is being secretly talked about behind closed doors in the German parliament, in the German government, and this was something which wasn't supposed to go out? In this light, Euro Weekly News wrote on January 22. Boris Pistorius, the new German defense minister, on Saturday, January 21, announced his plan to turn the Bundeswehr into the most powerful army in the European Union. Germany is the largest economy in Europe, so it is also clear that it should be our goal to have the strongest and best equipped army in the EU, he said. However, he goes on to say, this cannot be done in 3 years. It will take a few more years. Now, why did he mention 3 years? Interesting choice of words. Furthermore, The Local wrote on January 20, polls concluded and conducted over the last year show us a society in Germany that is quickly changing its opinion on military force. It is getting harder to say that Germany is a peaceful society in general. Now, what is happening here is that Germany is returning to its militaristic past, which Germany was famous for. Now, it's only a matter of time. To go back to our initial question, is a nuclear war between Russia and Germany imminent? And the answer is no, not yet. Now, such a war is coming. The Bible clearly prophesies that such a war is coming, but other things will have happened before, and they need to happen before this final event is going to take place. First of all, we need to watch for the rise of a very powerful leader in Germany. Now, Olaf Scholz most certainly is not that leader, but a very forceful, charismatic, military political leader will arise. And we also will find that 10 core European nations will give their power, their authority, their autonomy to this military leader. And even after that, another war is prophesied first, involving Germany. And then we'll have that prophesied war between Germany and Russia. Now it's going to come. What we see right now is a preview, a forerunner, so to speak, of events which are prophesied to happen in the future. And I'm not talking about the distant future. But as I said, these other events will have to happen first. We have prepared a free booklet, Biblical Prophecy from Now Until Forever, which explains these developments which you should watch for. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, this is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.